Welcome back to the final episode of And One podcast here on Radio Laurier. First and foremost, I think we should take a look back at, you know, our season so far, the NBA season, lots of ups and downs.
Yeah.
I'd say so far the biggest disappointment probably be Boston.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'd say Boston. It has to be the biggest disappointment would be Boston.
Toughest season for them, I think.
Yeah. And the Lakers. Boston and the Lakers. I think those are the biggest disappointments.
Yeah, yeah. The Lakers for sure, man. I think that was horrible.
I would say, what about the biggest surprise? Biggest surprises this season, what do you think?
The biggest surprises? Denver, I'd say, was huge for me.
I knew they were going to be good. They're going to be a playoff team. But I didn't think they'd be on pace to win almost 60 games. They're not going to win 60, but on pace to win, 57 games?
Yeah, I don't know. It was definitely, I think Denver was a big surprise for me. I think, the Blazers were a surprise for me a little bit.
I can't lie. I thought they would be the team in the West that falls out of the playoffs.
Yeah, I thought so, too.
The Kings, big surprise.
Yeah, the Kings were huge. The Kings are huge.
I think that's really impressive. I think they have a bright future with De'Aaron Fox running the point.
Yeah. It was fun to watch them this season. Again, sorry about my voice. It's a little shoddy right now, but...
It's all good.
It's all good, all good.
But yeah, I don't know, man. The Kings were huge for me. I really didn't expect to see them like that. Bucks, I didn't think the Bucks were going to be the biggest... baddest threat in the Eastern Conference.
You see, I can agree with you. I think another surprise would be the Pacers.
Yeah,
good they've been playing without Victor Oladipo. I thought they'd fall out a little bit more.
Yeah, that was huge.
They're not gonna do. I don't see them making too much noise in the playoffs, but who knows?
Yeah, man.
Yeah, the Pacers have fallen down to earth a little bit lately, though. They'll hold on to the fifth seed.
I mean, a lot of the teams we've been following have fluctuated a lot throughout the league.
Yeah.
If you look at Oklahoma. They were battling for a top seed in the West not too long ago, and right
now they're in the eighth seed right now. Yeah,
they're,
but they're not falling out. They're all in the playoffs.
Yeah,
basically they've clinched at this point.
well, the playoffs are completely clinched in the West.
Yeah, it's just seeding that we have to sort out. Yeah. Even then, it's getting closer to being sorted out. It's not like last year where only one game separates one or two games separates third from seventh, right?
Yeah.
This year it's a little bit better. We have
You got what?
You got the Spurs. The Spurs and the Thunder, they can fluctuate. They're tied right now. And the Clippers are only a game and a half ahead of them. The Jazz and Clippers separated by half a game. And then the Trailblazers and Rockets are separated by half a game right now. And even the Rockets are only three games out of first or second, I don't see them. They're not going to climb the standings, but they'll probably stay. I think they'll stay three. I don't see them dropping anything lower than four, though.
Even the Rocket. Dude, my voice. I don't even know what happened to it. It's just gone today. Holy crap, man. The Rockets were a huge surprise this season for me a little bit because they started so rough. It really did look like they weren't going to be the team they were last year. And then Clint Capella got injured. And I was looking back at that and I was like, yeah, this is not... where you want to be at this point in the season for them.
For sure. Especially I was surprised too. A lot of people have them, still think that they're the one team that could challenge Golden State.
Yeah.
Coming into the season, I thought they would, especially how they started, I thought they were going to be a mess.
Whole season.
And they have been a mess outside of James Harden. This team has been a mess.
Yeah, I don't see them being the team they were last year.
So. Yeah, I can't see that. They've just had too many ups and downs this season. Too much inconsistency from every other player on the roster outside of James Harden. Injuries with Chris Paul, Clint Capella. I think Kenneth Faried has been he's been huge for them.
A resurgence in his career.
Yeah, that's sure. Crazy. He's when you think about it, he really should be in the, if he qualifies, I don't know if he does, but... most improved player.
Yeah.
He was almost out of the league.
Yeah.
He was playing, he was a bench player, not even a bench player. He was a DNP every night for the Nets.
Yeah, I know, man. It was crazy.
The Brooklyn Nets, who have done really well this year, but last year were not that great, right? Like, Last year, he's revived his career for sure. I don't know if they have. I think they only have him for the rest of the year. Yeah. I don't know what he'll demand in free agency. I don't see him demanding too much.
Yeah,
I don't see too many teams throwing a lot of money at him. He's an undersized center. He's an undersized power forward that has to play center in today's game. But nonetheless, still a formidable backup big for the Rockets right now.
Yeah, I think the Rockets are gonna put enough money on the table for him to want to stay, unless like a boat.
Yeah, you could throw. He'll only demand like maybe $5 million a year. Like he's not getting that much. Like he's not that great.
Yeah, I don't know. Unless like
unless a
low tier team, like unless the Grizzlies are like
Similar move to like when Bismack Biyombo got signed by the Magic to a huge $18 million per year.
Yeah, unless some team is like, we need you because you had some resurgence this year and like, well, I don't know. A big shock for me this year was the whole Pelicans ordeal. I thought that was crazy.
Yeah, I didn't think they'd be that bad.
I didn't know.
I thought they could pull back into the playoffs. Even like the roster didn't change that much outside of Rondo, and they even improved with Julius Randle.
Yeah.
They still had Nikola Mirotic, right? Like,
yeah, man.
But it's the like, I don't know, and you can't really even point to they've fallen down even more since because of the Anthony Davis trade rumor, like the all that stuff.
But. Yeah.
And but he's the, he wouldn't. But he wouldn't have. He wouldn't have requested that trade in the first place if they were actually like playing good out of the gate. Like if they were in playoff position, months into the season, he doesn't openly request that trade till the offseason.
I don't know.
I think he'd give it at least a season to see how it goes. I don't think he requests a trade now. I think he waits till the offseason and says, you know what, I'm not re-signing here. I want out.
I still think Rich Paul was in his head too. I think he signed with Rich Paul, and Rich Paul said, "Hey man, LeBron's in LA. Like,
let's get
LA's
you there too.
The team, and you'd be a big fit, and you'll have the face of a franchise, and your endorsements are about to go up. And at this point in your career, it's more about you than about basketball, and forget the team. Like Rich Paul always has that kind of mindset where it's player first.
Of course, and I can't hold that against him.
Yeah, you know? I get it. He's trying to get his bag. The players are trying to get theirs. They're all just trying to secure something for themselves. But I just don't, like, it's the NBA. If you want loyalty, don't go to the NBA.
Mm-hmm. And it's honestly, like, loyalty.
I
don't know. It's a weird concept, you know what I mean? Like,
teams
don't show the loyalty half the time, right? Like, it's all about improving your situation. If you're in a good situation, you're going to stay there. If the team isn't doing what they need to be doing. And the Pelicans they've flopped on a few draft picks and everything.
Yeah.
They made moves to try and, like, when they drafted Anthony Davis, they made some weird moves that were not in the best interest of the organization in terms of building for the future. They tried to win a little bit too much too early on and still didn't do
that. I think the best move they ever made was the DeMarcus Cousins.
Yeah, that was a good move.
And then they refused
to resign him properly.
Well, yeah.
Well, they did offer him something, but
you know what? The whole thing was the whole league.
He wanted the max.
He got him at the same. Yeah, he wants.
He wanted a max contract, and cool for him for betting on himself, right? Like I'm not even gonna hold that against him. Like whatever. He was just upset that the teams didn't want to give him the chance that he wanted, and you know, he went signed with the Warriors. But other teams did offer him contracts, but he wanted a long term, and no team was giving him more than 2 years.
Yeah.
So I think he's just betting on himself, whatever, and he's playing well. I don't know if he will get a max in the offseason. Depends on what team offers. I don't see a good team offering him anything big.
I don't know. I'd see LA throwing money at him. I think LA is gonna shoot
everyone. I don't consider. I'm talking about like a team that we know right now they're a contender, or teams like the Nets. I don't see the Nets throwing money at him. I could see the Knicks throwing money at him. Teams like the Knicks and the Lakers, they're just desperate to get whatever they can at this point because their organization relies on this offseason is what they have prepared for right now.
You know what?
Right? Teams like that, they'll just do whatever they can, settle for whatever.
Yeah, I don't know, man. Honestly, I see the big thing for me is like when I'm looking at teams in the big market, the team I think is most set up for success.
Clippers.
No. Least talked about, most set up for success, young pieces, and are proving themselves this season. Brooklyn Nets.
Oh yeah. Oh, of course. Yeah, the Brooklyn Nets are a good destination. Like, who's to say Kevin Durant wouldn't go there?
Or why not?
They'll have at least one max contract slot, maybe two. But that all depends. This also depends because D'Angelo Russell's a free agent this summer too.
The best thing about Brooklyn is that unlike LA, like New York and Brooklyn aren't the Clippers and the Lakers, where it's like it's Laker City and the Clippers are always fighting to be that team.
I think the Nets are the team in New York right now.
I think so too. And they will be. They have the best stadium in the NBA, the Barclays Center. Yeah. It's amazing. Like, they're not playing out of Madison Square Garden.
Mm-hmm. They're not a secondary unit. They have their own identity. Their
own identity. And now when you look at it, I think this team, like, proved that the most this season.
I agree with you on that. They're a sleeper team for free agency, for sure. I could see, like, who's to say Kevin Durant wouldn't go there? I don't see Kyrie Irving wouldn't go there. Obviously, they have their point guards for the future.
But I could see Kevin going there. I could see DeMarcus landing there. But
I don't see that. I think they're too smart as an organization now.
Yeah, you know what you're
with
right.
This new management and everything.
You have Jared Allen in there. I love Jared.
I think he's already a top 10 center in the league.
He's good. I think he's good.
I think he's got a future. It's only his second year in the league.
How old is he? 20?
20, 21?
I think he's 20. Yeah. So, like, he's good. I think...
Yeah, he's 20. He's born in 98.
Do they have Damari Carroll still? Or is he on the Bucks next year, too? Or is he a free agent this summer? I think he's on the Bucks.
Let me see. Yeah, I think his contract's up next year. I'm pretty sure it should
next
be.
Next year? Yeah.
I think it's or this summer. I mean, summer. I don't know.
This summer, I don't think so.
But I do know that they have, you know, they have a lot of what's it called? They have a lot of young pieces, a lot of young players, and they do have at least one max contract slot available for this summer, and maybe possibly two. It honestly all depends on how D'Angelo Russell that situation goes, because he's a free agent this summer.
Oh, I think D'Angelo Russell is gonna go for the money. Like, I think he is gonna. Go for the max, obviously,
he's gonna want it, but. They're only going to give him what other teams are going to demand of him, right?
Right, yeah.
They didn't already sign him with a... And they're just going to have to wait until other teams offer him, and I think there will be teams that will throw money at him.
I don't think D'Angelo will leave Brooklyn.
I don't think he'll leave. They'll match any offer because he's restricted, right? But it all depends on what teams throw at him. Like, would the Suns sign him to a max offer sheet? No. Would the Magic sign him to a max offer sheet?
Magic's... That's actually a team.
Pistons might sign. I actually don't have money to do that.
You know what? I'm really excited for the Magic next season. I think.
What about Vucevic? He's a free agent this summer too, unrestricted.
I don't think he's gonna get a max anywhere. If I'm honest.
I think he'll get anywhere from like 18 to 26 million.
Yeah. Yeah, I could see that, but.
I could see him getting 25 million.
I could see Orlando putting that. Back to him. Like, I could see him going back to Orlando.
Yeah, I don't think it depends on what they want to do. But at the same time, you have to think, like, they have Mo Bamba. They have young guys, you know what I mean? Like, what are they trying to do? Like, do you want to keep Vucevic, and they're not even going to make the playoffs this year?
They're right on the cusp, right? Like, that's the thing. So, like, it's like, they could...
Actually, they might make the playoffs. They're a half game out behind Miami right now.
Yeah.
A game behind Brooklyn. I expect Brooklyn to make the playoffs, but hey, they could fall out. I've been pulling for the Hornets. I want them to make the playoffs, but at this point, they're two and a half games out. I don't see it happening.
I don't care. Kemba's free agent this summer too. That's huge.
Yeah, where does he go? I think the Lakers throw him. He's in that tier too. He's in that same tier as someone like DeMarcus Cousins, and guys like that. So first tier, you have obviously you have Kevin Durant. Kawhi Leonard. You have Kyrie Irving and
Jimmy Butler.
I'd say Jimmy Butler's that tier two.
Yeah.
He's Jimmy Butler, Kemba. I think Klay is between one and two.
I think he's tier two.
But I think he stays in Golden State. I don't think he leaves.
I don't know. I don't think he leaves. I think the Lakers would throw a big.
They'll throw money at him, but he can make more money in Golden State, right? They have his bird rights, right? They're not gonna not throw money at him.
Yeah, I think you're right.
And the only way is that. Like, do they choose Kevin Durant over Klay Thompson?
That's the thing.
And that's the thing, because they can't afford to keep both unless someone takes the money, takes a pay cut. Isn't Draymond Green up this year, too? I think he is.
I think he's going.
They're all up. Where's he going? Man. Who throws money at him?
I don't think anyone's going to throw a big contract at him, but I think a team will be like, hey, we'll throw a bigger contract. Like, Cleveland or the Wizards, like teams like that, I wouldn't be surprised if they were like, here, we'll give you more than anyone else. And he said, fine, I'll do it. Like even trying to think, like, if Anthony Davis gets traded, would the Pelicans go for him? Like, I don't know, but would the Kings go for him? Like, he's a system player in a way.
Yeah, I don't know where he plays well like that. He'd be okay. He's not an all-star anywhere else.
Yeah, he's a defensive guy. Like,
who does throw money at him? No good team does.
No.
You look in the East right now, like, I don't know who throws money at him.
Yeah, the bottom teams.
Exactly. If the Hornets re-sign Kemba Walker, do they throw money at Draymond Green too? Like,
and the worst thing about Draymond is, whereas a year ago he was looked at kind of like that Walker player where he was like, I'm the glue guy for the Golden State Warriors. Like,
now it's like he could be a problem guy. Yeah, like, he's not the dude that sorts out problems. He's a guy that can cause problems.
Which I think is a serious issue, because I think if he was a glue guy and he was like really, really like, could keep a team together, I could see the Timberwolves being like, you kind of a veteran.
You know who I could see throwing money at him, actually, now that I think about it?
Yeah.
Pacers.
Oh. Yeah.
They don't have, like Victor Oladipo isn't a strong, outspoken personality. They don't have anyone that's gonna really interfere with Draymond Green's, like, you know, his personality. No, like, and I think they have a really strong team dynamic, and he could fit in there. Defense and ball movement, everything. He could fit in there. He can't shoot anymore. But, yeah, but yeah. I think the Pacers throw money at Kemba Walker, and they throw money at D'Angelo Russell. They need a point guard.
Man, I wouldn't even be surprised if... No, I think the Pacers are going to throw their money at Kemba more than they will at D'Angelo.
Oh, yeah, of course, because D'Angelo Russell's restricted, right? So
I think the Lakers are going to make a move for Draymond as well. I just think, like, I think they're just going to put everything.
They're just putting their all. But the Knicks could make a move for Draymond.
I think so.
But I'm just saying the Knicks and the Lakers, the only reason that you can see them is just because they need this offseason is the only chance they have to get players. Like, this is going to be one of the best off seasons in NBA history. Could be one of them. Like, this could shift the whole dynamic of the league. If Kevin Durant leaves Golden State, I think Draymond Green stays in Golden State if they don't re-sign Kevin Durant.
I've seen the rumors of Kevin Durant looking at Boston now. I don't think so.
Like, they don't have the money to do that right now.
Well, they're saying if Kyrie doesn't come back, they get
Kevin Durant.
They get. But why would he want to go to the pieces, and then they do a sign and trade so Anthony Davis and Kevin Durant can see what? I just, because Kevin Durant's second option in that Golden State season was Boston.
Yeah, he did. Yes, Boston was the team. Like, I think he should have gone to Boston. That would have been a good move.
I know, I think so too.
That'd be amazing. But yeah,
he would have been competitive, and I think Boston with Kevin Durant, the Eastern Conference Finals of Boston versus Cleveland would have been unreal. And I think his legacy, if he won Boston.
Yes, and he beat LeBron James, cemented. So much different. So, I think Boston, their season can go like two ways. Kyrie's out. I think Kyrie's gone.
Oh, I think so too.
But I think they're still going to be good. They'll still be in the playoff hunt 100% with Brad Stevens. They'll probably win like 45 games
next year. I think Jason Tatum, like, they're not going to move any. Like,
they won't move Jason Tatum for anyone if they don't
they
have.
They might move, if Kyrie leaves, they might move for
Anthony Davis. Yeah. Still, they might still take the gamble and try and, like, persuade, you know. But that depends on a lot of things. Some teams could look at that too. If Kyrie leaves, other guys could look there and say, hey, like, another one man's trash is another man's treasure, right?
Well, yeah,
you go there and, like, say, look at these assets. Like, they're gonna want to try and make a trade for me. Like, they're gonna try and make trades to pick, like, Anthony Davis. Like, there's no question
that they're still gonna. What about Kyrie in LA? You think that's gonna happen?
That could still happen. I don't know. I'm not putting money on it, but like, it wouldn't surprise me if it happens. But I don't really expect it to. I don't expect it. I don't think it will. But it wouldn't be a surprise if it happened.
Yeah, I agree.
But outside of, like, just like free agency, I think if Kevin Durant leaves Golden State, depending where he goes, I think next year is the greatest season in NBA history.
You think so? Yeah.
Because say the Raptors keep Kawhi, right?
I think they will.
If they do, you have the Raptors. Then if they make the finals this year, the Celtics leave. The Raptors next year, depending on what moves are made, depending on if the Lakers stack up, depending on what happens with Boston, how the Bucks handle this, like, offseason, the Sixers,
all,
everything.
It's all ops for a pick cut.
Yeah, I think the Raptors are the favorites to win the championship next year, depending on how this season ends and if they can keep Kawhi. Because if the Warriors didn't exist, I think the Raptors would be the favorites to win the championship right now.
Yeah, I think so.
I think they could beat Houston. They could beat Denver.
They're still second, like, favorites. They're second favorites right now on, like, betting websites.
Yeah, like,
I
it's, like...
they're still, like, 200. I think theirs is, like...
Like, the Warriors are obviously the overwhelming favorites, but in a regular season without the Warriors, you have... This is the without the Warriors, these are the teams that would be competing for a championship right now. The Bucks, Raptors, Sixers, Celtics... And then in the West, you have the Rockets, you have the Spurs could compete. Like, every team in the West could compete for the championship.
Yeah.
Next year. Like, you don't know who could win. The Warriors, it's just, the West is just written off because the Warriors. We don't know who's going to win. Like, I think the Spurs could legitimately beat the Nuggets in a first round series.
Yeah, I can see it. I can see, you know what? Sorry. Holy. Oh my. It's like puberty again, man. Holy crap, man. This is rough. The Spurs were a team I was a little surprised with this season. That was, you know, I did not know if they were going to be in the playoff hunt again.
I thought they would be.
But I like DeRozan's career year.
It's not a career year.
I swear it is. Highest rebound, highest points he's ever put up.
Not his points, his assists. Just his assists.
Oh, what's his points at?
He's only averaging like 22 a game.
Oh, okay.
Maybe 24, like...
Man, wow, I thought he was averaging something crazy.
Nah, he started out the season averaging like 28 or something, but he fell back down.
It's all right. D-Rose. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he's only averaging 21.5, but he's averaging 6 rebounds, 6 assists.
Yeah, that's good.
He's shooting 47. He's shooting 48% from the field. Oh, my goodness. He's shooting 16% from 3.
Dude, you know what? I don't know, like, when you look back at the season, though, like, crazy year. Like, the Kawhi trade.
Very
crazy,
interesting year, crazy. Yes.
What would you say is your favorite moment from the NBA season thus far?
Like, everything. I would say that trade was the biggest move this season. But outside, like, an off season, like, this season, the moves, probably Philadelphia trading for Jimmy Butler and Tobias Harris. I think the Jimmy Butler trade was... a mistake. The Tobias Harris move was a really good move, but yeah. Jimmy Butler was a mistake. I think the Sixers made a mistake trying to win so soon. I think, like, obviously you want to win, and with Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons, you make the playoffs, no question. You're still in contention to make the conference finals and make the finals. I think by making those moves, you prematurely, like, you gave up on Dario Saric and Covington too soon. I think they would fit in so well instead of Jimmy Butler. I get that they wanted Jimmy Butler to close, and the situation's getting a little bit better, but... I think, how do we know Jimmy Butler's not just putting up with it for now so he can get paid max money in the offseason?
I think he'll stay in Philadelphia. I really do. I think he likes it there, and I think the guys there like him as well, and I think he fits the city. I think he fits the city.
Like the tough mentality, right?
Yeah.
I see what you mean there. I just feel like it could turn out to bite them in the back. Like, this could be the downfall of the Sixers, right? Like, who's to say Jimmy Butler doesn't cause some fiasco and then Ben Simmons wants out. Joel Embiid says, I want... Like, some of them, they say, we want him out. It's just like in Minnesota. Yeah. And who's to say that they say, okay, well, what if they trade Ben Simmons? I was actually talking to my friend about that. I think we think that Joel Embiid eventually might say, you know what, I want Ben Simmons out, especially if he can't shoot. Like, who's to say that? Like, and I said this would be a move that legitimately has... possibility of happening. Who's to say the Suns don't trade Devin Booker for Ben Simmons?
No.
I think Ben Simmons is better than Devin Booker. I think he would fit better.
I think Devin Booker as a whole is overrated.
Oh, he's very overrated.
He is Phoenix's guy, and he's the only guy who's saying, I want to be in Phoenix.
He's upset with management right now. He's mad, and... There's actually rumors that they could try and trade. I don't know why they would. Him wanting out is kind of a bit premature. He just finished his fourth season in the league. He's like 22 years old. I don't know. It's just... It's not terrible.
I don't think he'll be leaving. I think he likes it there, but...
I think he'll be there, but...
I think he likes...
But Phoenix could just say, like I think that would be a trade that could happen. You know what I mean? Devin Booker and, what's the guy's name? Devin Booker and Kelly Oubre for Ben Simmons.
No. I just don't see it happening.
I think that's a fair trade.
Man, I do not see Philadelphia trading Ben Simmons ever, and I don't see Phoenix.
I know, but in this hypothetical, thinking that, like, you never know, Joel Embiid could say, I want Ben Simmons out.
I don't think so.
Or Ben Simmons could say, I want out.
I doubt it, but keep dreaming, Riley.
You never know.
I support your vision.
I don't know why they would do that. I think Ben Simmons is great. But you personalities could conflict, you know? Simmons, I think he has a chance to be a top, 10 player in the league. And is Joel Embiid holding him back from being that? Who knows?
I don't think so, because I think Joel Embiid is a top 10 player in the league.
He is, yes, 100%.
So I think the only person you can blame if Ben Simmons... And I don't think Ben Simmons is bad. I think Ben Simmons
is great. Oh, yes, he's great, yes. I think he needs to make, I don't know. I don't think he'll make... I was thinking about my... all NBA teams the other day. Yeah. My awards. So I have Giannis winning MVP.
Yeah.
But I will still go to my grave. I will stick up for James Harden, because people are completely saying that he doesn't deserve it at all. I think what you have to look at what he's doing and really consider it. But I have Giannis just simply because they've won more games and they've been so consistent, right? The Bucks have just been consistently playing well. And I have my defensive player of the year, Paul George, simply as a compensation for, sorry dude, we couldn't give you MVP, but
yeah,
we'll give you a depoy. Coach of the year, Mike Malone, Denver, or Mike Budenholzer in Milwaukee. I think it's really close. It's tight between them, because those are both teams that we didn't expect to be this good.
Think Nick Nurse?
No. Mm-mm. We have to, because the Raptors, we can't give it to them, because everything is based on what they're going to do in the playoffs.
Yeah, I'd probably give it to
Bud, Malone's Coach Bud.
Good. Good.
He's Denver's dealt with injuries all year. The Bucks have had consistent health all year. They also have what you could say is the best player in the world.
Yeah, it's just most impressive is he walked in and he
took over this team, and this team clicked. Yeah. But they also made big offseason moves. I don't know, maybe they're, I don't know what his name is, but their dude could be in running for executive of the year.
Move did they make?
This offseason.
The Bledsoe trade was nice. Mm-hmm, that was last year, wasn't it?
No, Bledsoe was before, yeah. Picking up Brooke Lopez, making a trade for Nikola Mirotic, you know? Those little moves. They didn't pick up a star, but they made the little moves and built this team, got some shooting around Giannis. I think Masai, exec of the year.
Yeah, I think so.
I think I give it to him. He's pulling the trigger. He's not afraid to make moves. He made the Kawhi trade. You made got this team better trade, and the Gasol trade. You signed Jeremy Lin. You build this team up.
What about Magic Johnson?
Tragic Johnson. 2.0.
No, man. Exec of the year. You signed Braun.
Yeah.
That's it. They'll probably win it, man. They'll still give it to him. You signed Braun.
I don't think...
No, I'm kidding.
Yeah,
I'm
obviously, kidding. But I just think, maybe next year. Maybe next year he'll win it.
Yeah, they sign every superstar.
Yeah.
Sixth man of the year?
Lou Williams.
Not D. Rose?
No, Lou Williams.
Again.
He's having a career year.
Yeah.
And the Clippers are in the playoffs, and he's their best player.
Yeah.
Yeah, and defense player Paul George, we got.
You have that.
I
agree with everything you said, but yeah, I don't know, man.
Rookie of the year, Luka Doncic, but it's closer than you might think. I think Trae Young has proven lately. I think people shrugged him off too soon. He just needed some time.
I think they'll give it to Trae. I think they actually will give it to Trae.
I don't see it. The media loves Luka Doncic. The
media loves Trae more, man.
It's no.
It is so crazy. Because they look at this kid, I have seen so many reports of, oh, he lived up to it. He is the next Curry. He's doing this more than Curry. And honestly, what do I see it as? Oh yeah, I think Luke is a better player. I think he's more completed.
Mm-hmm.
I think
he's the better. Of course, he's more polished. But I think Trae Young, it was too premature to say, you know what, he's never gonna be Curry. I think to say, and people say, well, look at Curry's rookie season.
Yeah.
We also have to look at the fact that Trae Young is 19, 20 years old, right? Curry spent 4 years in college. Trae Young came after 1 year. He's 3 years younger than Curry was.
Yeah.
So right now, at this age, Trae Young is better than Steph Curry was at the age of 20. And that's not a debate. Now we see if he can keep improving.
But you look at it, when Curry got drafted, he went to the Warriors. They were in a bad state, but
they still had pieces. They were still decent.
They had Monte Ellis.
And this is Trae Young basically putting up empty stats on a bad team. But he's shown promise. He's a good playmaker.
You know what? I'm excited for them because they got what's their shooting guard's name?
Kevin Huerter. And they have John Collins and
Who
knows who they get in the draft this year?
Yeah, I like Atlanta's.
I don't know. Like, who do they pick up? Like,
in the draft? Oh, that's
a good... do they want Zion?
No, they can't get Zion.
No, if they get the first pick,
they won't.
Are they not in the bottom? They're one of the worst teams in the league.
They're not getting the first pick, though. Like, not even close. What's it called?
They're not.
They're like fifth or sixth. But a lot of people are calling. They're going for like Kobe White, right? They think Kobe White from UNC. I don't know how much Kobe White. I'm not the biggest fan of him. I think he's a good player. Like, he's really good. But I don't know if you want to take a point guard, a young point guard, to develop behind
Trae Young.
Yeah, they don't do that.
So right now, if it works out, the odds are changed this year. So the three top teams get the The three top teams get the same odds, 14%.
Yeah.
So right now, if it was New York, Phoenix, Cleveland, you know, I think New York takes Zion.
Yeah, I think anyone with the first
Phoenix, if they get the second pick, will be screaming their eye. They will be so happy. I don't think they don't want the first pick.
Yeah, but who do you think they take? Barrett?
Ja Morant.
I think Ja Morant, too. Yeah. Because they need the point guard.
And that would be beautiful. I think that would be so beautiful.
Cleveland gets third, then?
RJ Barrett.
You think so?
Yeah, they pick up Barrett. Sexton.
Chicago. Then goes fourth.
Yeah, they pick up Cam Reddish. But I don't know if they do that. Why would they do that? They already have he's a shooting guard, and they already have Zach LaVine.
Well, he plays small forward. You can put him at small forward. Maybe. But I mean, like, if you're... It's hard because, like, you... Honestly, Chicago, more than anything, like, I could see Chicago with the fourth pick being, like, we'll take Kobe White because we need a point guard more than anything else. And then Atlanta going for Roy Hachimura from Gonzaga, the center. And he's amazing. Like, I think he's one of the most underrated players.
Or do they pick up Cam Reddish? Like,
I think Cam Reddish. They'll probably have back to back picks.
Yeah, that's what it looks like. It says 5-6. Like, I'm looking at the projected order, right?
Yeah, I don't know, man, because Cam Reddish in the mock drafts is like still a lottery pick, but he's at 8th. I could see, like, personally, if I was Atlanta, I'd probably take Cam Reddish and Hachimura, if he was on the board. Like, I think that would just make your team more complete, and I think you guys would look like the next Chicago Bulls, where you guys have five young starters.
I think the Bulls have a bright future.
I think so, too. I think, this draft is deep. They have Bull Bull going at 18th. I don't know if he's...
Just because he's injured. Just because of his injury. He'd be no question a top 10 pick
if he wasn't hurt. I don't know, man. Do you think he's gonna do the one and done, or do you think he's gonna declare, or do you think he's gonna go back?
He'll declare for the draft. Why would he?
I mean, he's.
If he's hurt, what if he gets hurt again next year, and then no team wants to take a chance on him ever?
Yeah, I guess. I guess
he wants to get out here and then maybe get picked as probably get a top 20 pick, and then.
I know the risk for me with that is, it's like if you go back to college, you play, you have a better season. And then you come back and you're a lottery pick. You're looking at, like, if you're in, like, the top three, you're looking at $9 more million. But, like, I guess it makes sense. He'll declare now. He'll play. He'll get the money. Tough situation. I don't really know, man. I don't really know. But I think this draft is going to be unreal. Speaking of college players, while we're on the topic...
March Madness.
You been following it at all?
Not too much. I know that Duke almost got upset twice, right?
Yep. And one basket games each one.
Yeah.
And everyone's
I don't know.
The rims. I don't know, man. Only guy who could move the rims is probably Zion himself.
Yeah.
Who do you have winning?
I don't think Duke wins it.
Really?
I don't know.
You think Michigan State's gonna upset them tonight?
Oh, they play tonight?
Yeah.
I wish I'll be at work tonight, so try to watch it a little bit while I'm at work.
I think they play at 5.
5:05 to PM, it says, yeah.
Yeah.
In the Elite Eight.
Yeah, man.
I don't know. Like, that's a 2-seed, 2-1, 1-2 seed, you know?
Yeah, but Michigan State's not really a 2-seed. Like, they're a little bit, like, people say they were really, should be closer to a 4-seed. I think they have good coaching and they're a strong team, but I still think Duke's... I think tonight's going to be Duke's easiest game, if I'm completely honest.
Really?
I think the problem with college basketball a lot of the time is guys look at it as, like, NBA-level players because these guys, a lot of these guys are ready to be in the NBA.
Some of them are. Not a lot, of them, some of them.
Okay, some. Zion's ready to be in the NBA. Mm-hmm. Barrett could be in the NBA. And Morant could be in the NBA right now. Mm-hmm. But... So when people look at that, they look at these 18-year-old kids, and they're like, well, that team has the most star power. They should win. They're the
it's not about team. That. It's about coaching is the biggest advantage coaches in the NCAA.
And the best coach in the NCAA resides in Cameron. Like, it's Duke, man. And then I think...
That's the thing, though. But the thing about March Madness is that, like, you have teams. Like, the reason that the Duke has almost been losing is because they're playing against teams that have been together for 4 years.
Yeah, well, here's the thing. That's where the maturity comes in.
So like, when they played UCF, like, their best player is 23 years old.
Yeah.
Like, he's a full-grown, like, he's a grown man, right? Like, and Taco Fall, they're all fourth-year players playing against these first-year players, right? Like,
that's the thing, right? But then you look at it, and my whole thing is with that is these people look at it like these guys should beat everybody. But then you got to remember, these kids,
yeah,
Zion and Barrett and everything, are born in 2000, man.
Like, yeah, that's ridiculous. They're young.
Four out of that starting five are younger than me and you.
Mm-hmm.
And so you got to think, when they go out to a game, their head space is
it's different. They haven't been doing this very often.
Yeah.
And you really think, like, right now, their draft odds, their draft position is not affected by how they do in the tournament.
Yeah, no, not.
They could lose right now. Round. They could lose tonight, and people will care. They'll get a lot of hate. They'll be like, see, they weren't ready. But does that change the fact that Zion is going number one in the draft? No.
I mean, DeAndre Ayton last year is a perfect example.
Ben Simmons didn't even make the tournament.
Yeah, neither did Markel Fultz.
Yeah.
Like, guys like that, it doesn't matter.
They don't care.
But my thing is, when those guys go out to play, if they get upset, if they get whatever, a lot of people have to remember that those kids have been told they're the best, and a lot of time they will play down to the teams they're playing against. So when I see them playing a team like UCF, who's a 9th seed, who I watch and I'm like, okay, they have good chemistry. I know they'll be a tough matchup for Duke. Duke will be sitting maybe, like, I don't know, obviously I've never been in the locker room or anything, but, like, those guys, I wouldn't be shocked if they were like, you know, we're going to play down to our, like, subconsciously.
They don't say down. It, but they say, like, they go into the game thinking, you know what, we're way better than we don't have to 20. Try. Yeah.
Zion comes out, windmill dunks, and he's like, this is going to be an easy game. And then these guys who have been taught the importance of defense and fundamentals.
Team basketball,
and they can move the ball. Like, and obviously,
like, none of those dudes, like none of those guys on that team are going to be.
In the,
like,
draft. None. Yeah.
Well, is Taco Fall in the draft this year?
Taco Fall
year.
Won't even go
yeah,
to
I think
draft.
He had a red shirt year or whatever, but. But what's his name? The guy that almost hit that tip in.
No, Taco Fall's done. He played his last game for UCF.
Okay. He's out. So he's going to... Do you think he'll be drafted?
I don't think so.
I don't know. He might be picked up... Like, he'll be picked up by a summer league team for sure.
Yeah, I think so.
He might be picked up. Like, he might get signed. He's not going to get drafted, but teams will try him out, see what he's doing, and he'll be working to get onto an NBA roster.
He's always been, like, a guy on minute restrictions, though. That's, like, the one big...
Yeah, he's 7'6". And
exactly.
Like, injuries, like, he's not very quick.
Yeah, exactly.
But, yeah, he's actually projected to go 51.
Oh, he is?
To Utah. Oh, that would be ridiculous. You already got Rudy Gobert, and you have Taco Fall. Oh, boy.
I don't know, man. Like,
someone's going to take a chance on him. Like, why? He's 7'6". Like,
he's one
whatever.
Of those raw prospects where it's like,
yeah.
If he's malleable, if we can form him to fit our organization, like, it's perfect. But I don't know completely about, like, everything, like, with him. But all I'm saying is when you watch teams, I think when you watch those low-seed teams, the seeding is not indicative of how talented a college team is.
That's his name. Aubrey Dawkins, that guy. The guy that almost got the tip-in
at the
end of the game.
Yeah.
He's 24 years old, and he's a junior.
Exactly.
Like, he played in high school, right? He took an extra year in high school. He was in college, and then he transferred there. So last year he was a redshirt.
Yeah.
So this is redshirt junior year. Technically a senior. But because he took an extra year in high school too, like he's legitimately like born in 95 or 94.
Yeah, he's old.
Yeah.
Like that's the thing, right, man? These guys like, and guys like
yeah,
that.
He's born in 95, so he's a full 5 years older than Zion Williamson and RJ Barrett.
And you gotta remember, guys like that, when you look at them, they are playing.
They're polished. Like you can't. There's not, no potential.
It's not even like polished potential. It's like they're playing to prove their stock.
Yeah.
So a guy like that drops 40 against Zion.
Yeah, they want to win because the farther they go into the tournament, that's where they get their attention.
Yeah. Well, look at DiVincenzo last year on Villanova.
Yeah, he wasn't going to be a draft pick until he dropped, like, what, 30 in the championship game?
Like, yeah, points.
Yeah, man. He went off, right?
And then teams people start looking back at him. Okay, well, he has good this.
Yeah, but
and
if he doesn't go off in the tournament, he doesn't get drafted, probably.
Not even
or
that.
Maybe a second-round pick.
Yeah,
but
he's a late second-rounder. Like, that boosted his draft stock.
These guys are playing to boost their draft
stock. Like, a good team like Milwaukee, who has a lot of filled out pieces.
Yeah, they don't need to bet on players. They just need to do it. He's like, oh, he can shoot. You know what I mean? He could produce a little bit now. Maybe he'll be better for us now, and that's what we need.
Grayson Allen was a guy who played. And
he should have came out after his second year.
Career, because he should have declared.
He should have after second year. That was when his draft stock was highest. He could have made. He could have possibly been a lottery pick that year.
I don't think lottery, but
he was a first round this year. No.
Was he first round?
He was a first rounder.
I thought he was a second rounder.
I think so. I think he was still. Let's see. Yeah, let's see where he was drafted. Round one, he was picked 21st overall. That's what I'm saying. Like, he's still.
So,
like,
yeah, he would have been higher.
I think he would have been a lottery pick after his second
like
14th?
Year.
I think maybe even like 8th.
I don't like 8th.
He was looking good. Maybe not 8th, like 10th. Anywhere from 10 to like 15.
And he
could probably
have
been a lottery
those
pick.
Dogs, man. And his 2011 year? Like, but the draft was weak, too.
Think about it this way.
He would have been.
He could have been higher, because think about it. Marcus Smart went 4th overall.
Yeah.
After his second year. Yeah. And I think Grayson Allen was a little lower than Mark, because Marcus Smart, people saw him, and people thought that he could legitimately be, like, a star.
Yeah.
But now he's obviously not. He's a good, very good role player.
I always call him Kyle Korver, but Grayson Allen will be great in Utah, because I think he kind of fits that, like,
defense
3 and D.
Defense,
yeah.
You know, just gritty, slow pace.
He can get to the rim. Actually, he's got a mad vertical.
Yeah, he's athletic,
gross.
He's strong, and he's, yeah, like, players like that, you know, they're just, he would have been better coming out for second year, like we said, but like guys
but
like that
what?
In the
honestly,
tournament, that's what the tournament's
like that,
about.
I don't mind it as much for him, because I think he found himself in a better situation because he doesn't have the pressure of being a lottery
like
pick.
A good player, yeah.
It's not like he's in Orlando right now fighting to prove himself. He's in the G League. He's doing great in the G League. He's developing. Utah is having a good season, and they aren't pushing for this young prospect to be their best player because they have established guys.
And sometimes that's how you
that's
build
how you develop,
good
man.
Players. Sometimes that's the best way.
Bro,
now, there's certain
Siakam,
players.
Man.
Now, when you have Duke, but yeah, that's a good example, right? But it just depends on the player, right? Like Siakam coming to the league, like even now, I don't see him. He's not the type of guy that you build around. He's not a number one option.
Yeah.
I don't think he ever will be.
I don't think so either. But
he caps out at being the second or third best player on a very, very good team. If he's your best player, you have a problem.
Yeah, okay.
Because he can't really create for himself or others, but he can play off of others very well, knows his role, efficient, doesn't take bad shots. He's a perfect, like, very glorified role player.
Yeah.
Right? Like, he's a role player, but, like, also a borderline all-star.
He's a star.
But he plays like a role
star,
player. Similar to, like, Draymond
all-star.
Green. Right? Like not, yeah. He doesn't play like Draymond Green. I was thinking,
let's
I was talking to my, I was talking to a friend. I think the closest comparison to Pascal Siakam is, Paul Millsap.
Yeah, I like that.
Right, but I think Paul Millsap is a little bit different. I think Siakam's a little bit of a more versatile defender, and I think he plays outside a little bit more, has more potential to be a perimeter player. But
what's nice about Siakam in this league is, like, he's a guy who can shoot threes.
You're not going to leave him wide open. You don't stand in the paint and let him shoot. Like, you have to contest it and be a little bit scared.
Yeah, he can get to the rim.
Great defender, can defend 1 through 4, sometimes 5.
That's his thing.
That's versatile.
Every single thing, almost every player in the league, maybe not Giannis, and a few centers, the length. He can affect your shooting zone no matter where you are.
And you can legitimately put him, you can let him switch on to Zion, not Zion, you can let him switch on to Giannis. Right, he could guard Giannis. He'll probably be guarding him a lot in the playoffs.
I think so, yeah.
Right, because you're not going to throw Kawhi on him all game. You need Kawhi's offense. You'll put him on a decent amount, but I think Siakam is the dude you put on Giannis most of the time.
Yeah.
I think you put Siakam.
I think OG's going to be guarding him a lot too. Like, obviously, when he's off the bench, mm-hmm. I think he's going to be the guard guy. But it's the same idea there. It's like they both are these guys with a lot of length.
You just throw them out there and...
I mean, they're going to affect the shot no matter where, because the thing with Giannis is he can create so much distance between you when he goes in the air, mm-hmm. because he is so long.
And he's just going to put his shoulder into you, and just no, you can't really stop once he gets to the
rim. Yeah, that's a thing, though. But, like, when you look at a guy with a wingspan like Siakam, where it's, like, 7'1 or mm-hmm. something.
And if he gets a little bit stronger, like, he's good.
Like, that's the thing. 3 feet out, if the guy's shooting and Siakam's 3 feet out and he puts his hand up,
he still has a chance. He's a contested shot. You, yes. And I think he's not an amazing rebounder, but he does. I think the Raptors' their biggest weakness is their rebounding.
Yeah.
For sure. That's their biggest weakness. I think Kawhi is a good rebounder, but for a small forward, he's averaging, what, like 7 rebounds, yeah. 8 rebounds a game?
Yeah.
Like,
he's actually having a great year.
He's having a good year rebounding-wise. I think Kyle Lowry is a good rebounder for a point guard. Yeah. Danny Green isn't a terrible rebounder at the two, but I think their front court rebounding is really, like, lacking. Like, Marc Gasol is nowhere near an amazing rebounder.
Yeah.
And I just think Pascal Siakam is a modern power forward that's not really going to grab you boards like that.
Yeah.
But I think he's good. But yeah, back on, we'll be talking about development, player development. I think Pascal Siakam, someone like that. And you're able to develop players through through your D-League team and stuff. Like, that's what the Raptors have done, even with Fred VanVleet, right? You bring in dudes that are kind of, like, you know, not top-tier draft picks and everything, and they come into the league, they don't really have high expectations, and they're able to develop, not have too much pressure put on them right out of the gate.
That's the best thing, I think, for anyone.
But when you have, like, guys like Zion Williamson, like, you're not going to want... You don't want him to be drafted by a team like the Raptors, right? You want him to have a chance to develop and grow and be that number one option, because that's what you want him to be.
Yeah, exactly. But, like, that's the thing, right? But, like, a lot of guys aren't Zion. A lot of guys
come need to time
league,
to develop.
Need time. Like I'm trying to think of a modern example. Like, maybe Fultz, if he had better development.
Potentially,
because,
yeah, he had a lot...
of injury. Like, that's
yeah, that's a little bit of a different story.
Who's a good...
Giannis.
Not even Giannis. No. Like, I'm thinking...
Like, a higher draft pick?
Like, I'm thinking a high draft pick, where it was, like, he was supposed to be the guy, and I think with a little more development, it would have been a different story.
Oh, like, if you had, like...
Like, a bust.
Andrew Wiggins, like... I don't know. He's a different type of story, I feel.
I think he just doesn't have the drive.
Maybe. Yeah. I'm like, so you're talking about, like, a lottery pick, like a top, maybe like a top 10 pick.
Yeah.
That came into the league and was, like, needed time to, like, develop behind good players.
Yeah. Oh, Chris Dunn is, like, I think the example of that, because Chris Dunn was a guy from Purdue. Or, no, where was he from?
But he played 4 years in college. Like, we knew what he was coming to the league.
I'm trying to think of busts right now, man. We talk about this all the time. But
you want to know about busts that would have been better off?
If they develop.
Oh.
Like, I don't know.
I don't know. I'm just trying to, like, think, like, what if they weren't just thrown into the situation?
You know what? Oladipo, I guess, in a sense. Because he went to Orlando, 5th pick overall. He was seen to be a little more, like... Like, he was supposed to be a star out of the gate. No, he went 2nd overall.
Yeah, he went 2nd.
Yeah. And so he was supposed to be the guy right away.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't pan out. Then he got bounced around, hurts his confidence, finally gets to Pacers. And I think if he started with the Pacers and the Pacers developed him and he didn't have all that pressure, I think his career would have started. I think it would have played out the same where he'd be a star now, but I think it would have gone... Like, step by step, people would have been like, he's growing. Like, the Raptors, honestly, man, it's a lot like, it's funny because when you watch the Raptors, they do it in a very
their player development way. Is very very good lately. Like,
it's really close to the National Hockey Leagues. Because what they do is they'll get a raw prospect.
Put him in the D-League, let him play. Put him in the
G-League, yeah. Like, where they put guys in the AHL or they send them back to the OHL on their property. They'll let these guys play. They'll work with them. They'll bring them out, and they'll be like, okay, this is what we're going to do. Here, here, here. Like, Bruno Caboclo, they did that with
him. He didn't pan out, but...
That was where that process started.
But, like, a guy like Fred VanVleet, Pascal Siakam, Jakob Poeltl, like, their player development was
good. DeLon Wright.
Yeah.
Like, everyone.
Every guy that they picked up, like, developed into a formidable role player and was a contributor on that squad.
And then you throw all OG, those guys together, and you have unbelievable
A decent depth. Young core.
Unbelievable depth.
That, like, you don't have young stars... But these are dudes that have turned into, you know, quality role players in the league.
And then you take a guy like Kyle Lowry, who is an all-star, and you say, okay, you're the leader, and he's a great leader, and you give him that confidence on the Raptors and say, this is your team, and then you go out and go, hey, we're going to also get you a top three player in the league in Kawhi
Leonard. I wouldn't say he's top three right now, but I have a hard time calling him a top five player right now. That's a different debate.
Different story, whatever. But you say, okay, we'll get you one of the top guys in the NBA. We'll place him with you. Now you have a superstar, an all-star.
And then you have a very good center that used to be a star. Now he's more of he's in the later stage of his career.
He's a declined star, but...
But still very smart. Still
knows how to play his basketball. Mm-hmm. Three high IQs.
Then you have Danny Green, a great career role player. Fits perfectly on the team. And then Siakam, who's a young player, developed in that system.
And all of a sudden, wow.
You have a team
you
that...
You look back at the Raptors' development and you say, very good. This team is going to be awful.
Every single guy on the squad, since they traded Jonas Valanciunas, every single player on the team was not a lottery pick.
Yeah.
Kawhi Leonard was the highest drafted player on the team. He was drafted 15th.
Yeah.
Every other guy on that team, Marc Gasol, he was a second-round pick. Kyle Lowry, late first-round pick. Pascal Siakam, second-round pick. And the Raptors actually drafted Pascal Siakam with the pick they got from the Bucks in a trade.
Yeah. You know what, man? It's you look at this team now, and that's what I say, because I think it's been really hard for us, first of all, because we have been picking up guys, and we have been trying to get them to mesh, and that's why I think we're in a little bit of a slump right now, because... All of a sudden, like, you put these new pieces together in the most stressful time of the year. So I think it's hard for them to get to know each other. Also, they're not playing every game together because now Kawhi is going to take a lot more rest.
Kyle Lowry's been hurt a little bit.
And they're going to start restricting him. Once they know that they have that top two seed.
Yeah, they basically clinched it.
Well, they do, yeah. Well, so now they're going to start pulling guys back and they're going to let more guys get more
time.
Just
try and get the playoff, get ready for the playoffs.
That's the thing, once the playoffs comes, that's why I still think Toronto is coming out of the East, because any team I look at our guys and I say...
Depth, experience,
playoff mode. That's my thing with Milwaukee. They have minimal playoff experience. First round. Like, cool... Whatever.
You just have the best
You're
player in the
still
league.
Relying on the... Yeah, and he's 22,
yeah,
right?
Not 23 or 24.
Okay, 23, 24. Like, it's still not enough for me to be like, one man is going to destroy a team that's 10 people deep.
But if there was one guy who can do it,
it's LeBron
Giannis
James.
It's Giannis Antetokounmpo as well. But yeah, I just think... Yeah, LeBron, you're right. But I just feel like...
I still don't think it's Giannis, man.
The Raptors... Really do have a good shot at, I think, winning the championship. If Golden State, one injury hurts their season a lot.
I would like it right now if we were the number one seed, because I think
home court advantage can make the difference.
And I think being in that top half of the bracket, it's a lot better right now, because I think...
I'd be scared to play Philadelphia in the second round.
Philadelphia in the second round.
Yeah, I will be scared.
We've had Philadelphia's number, though, so that's a good thing. I think.
Yeah, but I just feel like Joel Embiid, who do you throw at him? Sure, Marc Gasol can stand there and do what he can try to stop him. I think what you do is you let Joel Embiid do his thing. I think you focus on stopping everyone else. You're not stopping Joel Embiid.
Yeah.
But then, you throw, like, you're going to have Kawhi Leonard on Ben Simmons for the most part. Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe you'll throw Siakam at Ben Simmons. They have the personnel to stop Ben Simmons and Giannis.
But that thing
the
is
the one
too,
team that has the personnel to stop
too,
them.
That like Milwaukee seeing Boston,
no matter what.
Mm-hmm.
I like that.
I think Boston could have their number in the playoffs.
I think so too.
But I think I'd rather. I think if the I would I'd want rather
see
Milwaukee.
Really, I'd rather see Boston.
I think if Boston makes the conference finals, I hope the Raptors beat them.
I do.
I think if Milwaukee. I mean, if Boston goes into the conference finals after just beating Milwaukee, I think they put it together, and I don't know what you do.
You know what, man? I'm looking at the West right now, and I honestly look at Golden State right now, and I do not. I think they're gonna have a tough first round against the against Oklahoma.
Oh, that could. I think that could be.
It could be a swing. Like it could be an upset.
I don't see it being an upset, but that could be like a punch in the dogfight. Like that could be like that could win them. That could be a punch in the stomach. You know what I mean? If you treat it like a boxing match, like they'll escape. It could go six games. I don't see it going seven. I think it could be a 6-game series that Golden State, you know, is like, you know, we gotta step it up.
But the only thing is right after they have Utah or Portland, you know, is an easy matchup. And then they're gonna get Houston.
Yeah. Very tough, I think.
I think unless OKC is the team to mess them up.
But OKC is the team that could beat them. I think it just depends on how Russell Westbrook, like, you know.
I still don't see Golden State, though, being the team. I don't think they're still clear-cut winners of the NBA Finals, though.
Yeah, of course. I think if they're a little bit, like, banged up going into the Finals, I think the Raptors have a good chance. I think the Bucks would have a good shot. I think the Sixers could have. I think any team. I think the top teams in the East have a better chance of beating Golden State than any team in the West.
West, yeah, I think so.
I think so.
Yeah, man.
I just don't see the Rockets beating them. I don't
see it.
Denver, I don't see
Denver making it out of the first round.
I think it'll be a good series. Like, I think the Spurs could really push them.
Yeah.
I think the Thunder could push them. I don't think the Clippers have enough to throw at them.
Yeah.
But the Clippers, like, you know, whatever. But I think the Nuggets, you know, they'll probably win the first round. I don't think they could beat Houston, though. I just don't think Denver can beat Houston. Like, who guards James Harden? Gary Harris, Jamal Murray.
Yeah, I don't know.
I think that goes 5 or 6. I think Houston handles them rather easily.
I think at the end of the day, we're still looking at Golden State's the team to beat, but I think the teams in the East, it's doable. And that's all I'm going to say to end off the show. I'm also going to say Kawhi re-signed to Toronto. But
it's tough.
But I think that's it. I think in the finals, it could be anyone's. Right now, I do.
Yeah, I think so too. I think these four teams in the East have a shot to make the finals. It's gonna be a good dogfight, and I'm happy that they're finally gonna be. I was kind of hoping that the Raptors would be able to sneak through with only getting, like, you know, a first round series against, like, you know, against the Pistons, and a second round series against Indiana. And then you just go to the conference finals, and you have the advantage, you're not as tired, you haven't gone through as much battles. But I think at the same time, if you can, like, battle in the second round, like, I think that makes it just makes the playoffs so much more exciting.
It'll be exciting.
The East is very, it's wide open.
It's too bad we won't be here.
Yeah.
It's too bad, but.
I'm looking forward to, I think this playoff, this is a good season for the NBA. I think next season could be amazing, because you have these teams in the East, I think the Celtics fall off, but. If someone goes to New York, then they, you know, the New York Knicks are picked up. And I think in the West, like, the Golden State Warriors, even if they lose Kevin Durant, are still a team. Like, they could still win. Like, they'll still be a competitive contender, I think. But I also think they could fall off because, like, I think Steph Curry is just, like, just to be tired from, you know, five straight years of
being the best.
Of being in, like,
you know, a top.
Six. Actually, this would be their sixth straight finals appearance.
Will it? No.
No, fifth. They'll be their fifth.
They have 3 rings. They lost.
They've won 3 of the last 4. This could be 4 in the last 5. This could be a three-peat for them. Yeah. This could be their fifth straight finals.
First team since the Kobe and Shaq Lakers.
Yep.
Well, man, it's also been a good season for us.
Good old, you know, we'll be back next year.
Yeah, we'll pick up on what we left off on.
Yeah, draft.
We'll see one draft. Yeah. Free
agency. We don't have a show next week, do we?
We don't have any more shows this year.
Farewell.
Peace out. Thanks for listening.
Yep.
All right, this was N1. Good first season. We'll be back next year. Thank you for everyone who's been with us on the ride. And remember, keep watching the NBA.
playoffs coming up, because it'll be exciting.
It'll be exciting. Watch the Duke game tonight. Watch all the games and tune into N1 same time next year.
September.
In September.
Yeah, all right.